It's Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, and it's on page 793. Page 793, verse 31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be a covenant like I made with their forefathers when I took them by hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Let me join you what everybody else has said tonight. Happy New Year to everybody. And we'll talk about the reality of that statement in a moment. But towards the end of August last year, Simon Coupland, on holiday vicar, I think he's back on work on Tuesday, planned the September to December preaching outline, sermon titles, and who would speak. And because he's aware that Christmas is a very busy time, he always tags on the first week in January. So I was given the title of speaking about New Year's resolutions about 5 months ago, and he's not here to hear it. Seems unfair, that, doesn't it, really? But there you go. So I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Now, the promise is I won't make you explain any more other than just ask for a verbal response. Have any of us made a New Year's resolution or resolutions? Lots of head shaking going on here, in which case I can sit down and we can have the final song and go home. So you haven't? Okay, Fiona has. Oh, excellent. One or two people have. I'm not going to ask you to say what they are, because that's always very embarrassing, and you may not want to. But have you kept them so far? It is the 3rd of... There's a couple... Fiona says no, but Elaine said yes. I couldn't see... Is that a shake? Okay. So we're going to think about New Year's resolutions. Do you like that picture? I took that... just a couple of nights ago. I was actually in Gloucester at the time, but I took that. No, it's a shot from a previous year. Did you see the fireworks display? I think it's a. I do love fireworks, and wish I could be there to see it live. But apparently, you have to get there about 6 hours early in the freezing cold. Doesn't sound like a good idea. But I thought I'd share with you some of the history of New Year's resolutions. Some of you are very clever and you know this, but I thought I'd tell you anyway. In Roman mythology, the god Janus was the god of gates and doorways and doors and beginnings and endings. And he's usually depicted, as he is in that picture, with two heads facing in opposite directions. So he's looking back to what has been and looking forward to what is to come. Now, it's quite important to us because the name Janus is where we get our name January from. And January the 1st is the start of New Year. And particularly for the Romans, the thing they used to do was to exchange gifts at around this time, a bit like Christmas, I suppose, perhaps where we got the idea from that. But they also looked for forgiveness, to be forgiven or to offer forgiveness. So they went into the new year with like a clean slate, and everything was sort of sorted. So that's some background to it. And I went on the internet, as you do when you're researching, to find out what some people thought about New Year's resolutions. I have one that amuses me from Bridget Jones's diary, so I'll read it to you. And think about this. I do think New Year's resolutions can't technically be expected to begin on New Year's Day, don't you? Since, because of an extension of New Year's Eve, smokers are already on a smoking roll and cannot be expected to stop abruptly at the stroke of midnight with so much nicotine in the system. Also, dieting on New Year's Day isn't a good idea, as you can't eat rationally, but really need to be free to consume whatever is necessary moment by moment in order to ease your hangover. I think it would be much more sensible if resolutions began generally on January the 2nd. Now, I have some sympathy with Bridget Jones on that. Not that I'm a problem with smoking, and I don't really have a problem with drinking too much, but I do think sometimes we rush into these decisions, but we should think about them a bit more. Oscar Wilde, in his wisdom, said, "Good resolutions are simply checks that men draw on a bank where they've no account." And someone called Mr. F.M. Knowles, "He who breaks a resolution is a weakling. He who makes one is a fool." And I think this is my favourite. It's from Anon. Now, he's written, or she's written, lots of quotes, hasn't she, Anon? And here comes another one. "A New Year's resolution is something that goes in one ear and out the other." That's a really good one, isn't it? In one ear and out the other. Did you get that? Glyn, did you get that? No, OK, Glyn didn't get that. But Glyn's just bought a new car, by the way. So, and that's really important that you know that. It's a Skoda. You think I'm joking. It's a Skoda. His resolution was to buy a cheap, clapped-out car that's got so many gadgets, he doesn't know how to work them all. OK, let's think a little bit more about resolutions. You will not be surprised by this, but someone sat down and worked out the top 10 resolutions. So I don't know, I'm not quite sure the PowerPoint's been playing off. I've got a very strange screen in front of me for those who speak. It's a bit different than normal. So either you'll get the whole lot in one go, you may get them, you get them one at a time. This is excellent. Okay, the first one is to get organised. Sorry, this is number 10, to get organised. Your diary, perhaps. Case of my wife, your desk. Or you haven't seen it, you haven't seen it. Or perhaps just your whole life needs to be reorganised. Just get into the spirit of this, Anne. What does it matter? There's always somebody who's objective. We don't need objectivity at the moment. The ninth one is to help others. This is one of the few non-selfish resolutions that figure in this list. So you may want to become a volunteer or a helper. You may want to sleep out at night. Where is it you're sleeping? Your memorial gardens, and goodness knows, hope you're not on your own, otherwise you'll be in danger. So you might want to help others, or you might want to learn something new. Perhaps you want to change career so you learn a new job or a new language or new skills. I have not made a resolution as such, but I am determined to widen my scope of cooking in 2010. Joy is very pleased about this. Just making my point that New Year's resolutions don't always work. But so the eighth one on the list is learn something new. So you can ask me later in the year, how am I doing? Can I go beyond salad and stir fry and that sort of thing? You know. So I want to get into pasta and things like that. Nothing difficult, just the easy things. Number seven on the list is quite a serious one. It's getting out of debt. We have lived through a time, and continue to live through a time of stress because of the current financial climate. And can I say quite seriously, if that is you, if somewhere ticking away in you there's issues to do with finance, we do actually have here at St Paul's a trained, confidential team who are willing to give you time to talk to you and to help you with that. So Glyn's on that team and he's here tonight. So if you wanted to speak to him afterwards in confidentiality, we'll all watch, of course. But seriously, if you wanted to talk to him, then he's able to do that. Number six is to quit drinking. Now, when I read this, I thought it meant water and milk and tea, but when you get underneath, it's to quit drinking alcohol. And for some people, that is an issue. And once again, we have in our presence tonight, Lovisa, who works for a Christian charity and organisation that helps people get out of these sort of habits. So if you want to speak to somebody afterwards tonight, speak to Lovisa. We, again, will not be watching. We won't be looking. Anybody speaking to Lovisa tonight will assume you have a major drink problem. But it's quite serious, this, isn't it? It's an issue. And it's number six on this list. So what's number five? Number five is to enjoy life more. This apparently is the answer to stress, is to live life a bit more, is to eat more and drink more and enjoy yourself more. It looks a bit like a contradiction to some of the other things, but that's what comes up on this list. Number four is a no-brainer to me, quit smoking. I'm one of those people who have never had a lighted cigarette in my mouth ever, but I know for some people this is a real issue. Nicotine is a very addictive drug. And so, again, there is help available. I believe the National Health Service is actually very good at helping people quit smoking. But it's number four on the list. Then we get to the last three. The first one, or number three, is tame the bulge. I thought that might just get a laugh by just saying it. So, why are you laughing so much? You don't need to. You're the model for us all. But apparently 25% of adults in this country are classified as obese. That's quite scary, isn't it? 25% of adults. I don't know whether obese is, because the way they measure is quite interesting these days, and sometimes it's not that means everybody's sort of larger than life. It can mean other things. But many other people are just generally overweight, especially after Christmas. I'm really pleased that our lectern here is quite big. And so you can't see how many pounds I've put on over Christmas, eating all the chocolate that Sally has not eaten because I stole it from her fridge. Do you know, on the other side of this, there are not many people in third world countries who have this resolution. They don't need to give up food because they don't actually get a lot themselves to start with. What's the second one? Fit in fitness. Apparently at this time of the year, people sign up for the gym. Most of them don't last very long, but they sign up for the gym. I remember one New Year I signed up for the Sunrisers swimming in the swimming pool in Kingston. That is, you go early, between 6 and 8. No one else is there except the Sunrisers. I went twice. I paid for 4 months and I went twice because I'm quite good in the morning, but I just couldn't be bothered to get out and go swimming. But people do fit in fitness. And tonight, I want you to know I've cut down my carbon emission. I've walked to church. Apparently, if we all walked once when we normally drive, we would actually save an awful lot of carbon emissions and help the environment. So fit in fitness by walking when you can. I want to honour Fiona. Many times she comes to staff meeting and she's a couple of minutes late and she's slightly out of breath. It's because she's walked instead of driven. It's a start. You've saved on carbon emissions and you've helped yourself. Okay, so what do you think the last one is? What do you think number one is? Spend more time with family and friends. It's always top of the list. Who said to somebody else, we must have you round for a meal? You said that to anybody recently? Anybody said that to you recently? Have we done it? I think if we don't, as long as we're not indulging too much in the food and the drink and so on, it'd be good sometimes to actually do some of these things, wouldn't it? To do inviting people, family and friends, to make time for people in our busy schedule and our busy lives. So those, believe it or believe it not, are the top 10 resolutions. So I thought I ought to do something from the Bible tonight when I'm talking, as it's the start of the discipleship term. And I thought we'd just have a little look at the word new in the Bible. It was in our reading. And we're just going to have a quick little look at one or two verses in the Bible. I'm going to begin with a cynical comment from Solomon. The background to this is Solomon was David's son. He was the third king of Israel. He led the most successful time in Israel's history. It was the greatest kingdom, the greatest country in the world at that time. People travelled from miles. You may have heard of the Queen of Sheba, who travelled just to inquire of Solomon's wisdom and to see the vastness and greatness of Israel. And yet Solomon, for all his wisdom and greatness, lost his way. He married many women. He had many concubines and other women involved, and they brought with them other religions and other gods, and the whole thing came a mishmash. And he lost his way. He lost his relationship with God to some extent. And he wrote this in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a book about where he got to. It's a book of his honest views on life, and sometimes it's a bit cynical. And I quote this from The Message because, as Glyn often says using The Message, it does bring it right into our faces. Solomon writes, everything is boring, utterly boring. Sounds like a teenager, doesn't he? No one can find any meaning in it. Boring to the eye, boring to the ear. What was will be again. What happened will happen again. There's nothing new on this earth. Year after year, it's the same old thing. Does someone call out, hey, this is new? Don't get excited. It's the same old story. And this morning, we said to each other, Happy New Year. And I do get a bit cynical. It's the right thing to do. It's a nice thing to do. But you and I know that this year, for all of us, we'll have some happy times and some sad times. There'll be good times and bad times. There'll be easy times and difficult times. That's the way life is. 12 months ago, we didn't know all the things were going to happen to us in the year that's just gone. And so when we say Happy New Year, we mean well. But the truth is, it won't always be happy. So I have some empathy with Solomon's cynicism, but we've got to move on from it because new things are happening. In the Old Testament, Israel's prophets, towards the latter part of the Bible, the prophetic books, began to speak of a new thing. They gave promise to a new thing. Isaiah said, "See," this is speaking for God, "see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." Something's about to change. The way things have been are going to be different. Where there's been famine and poverty and emptiness and a lack and a loss, there's going to be something new is going to happen. Something's going to change. Water is coming into the desert. Flowers will blossom there. Peace will come. It will be a new story. And Ezekiel built on this. In 36 verse 26, he says this. Again, God speaking through Ezekiel to the people. "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." This new thing is going to not just be external, it's going to be internal. It's going to affect the way we are, the way we act, the way we feel, the way we think, the way we perceive ourselves. And as Gillian read to us, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." See, the Jews lived under a covenant that was law. There was obey this, keep that, do that. Rules, regulations, rituals, important things, godly things, right things. But the prophet is beginning to say to them, "This is going to change. I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm going to move away from religion, from ritual, from regulations to a relationship. It's going to be different, a new heart, a new mind, a new covenant." And all this was fulfilled in Jesus. See, Peter, writing his epistle, says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So this new thing that the prophets talked about was fulfilled in Jesus, and he gives us a new birth, a new beginning, a new start. Paul confirms this in Corinthians. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." We're a new creation. Something's changed. This is not just a cosmetic difference. This is a seed change. This is a shift that's cataclysmic. From keeping rules and regulations and living by having to tick boxes and pleasing God to maintain salvation, suddenly we moved into a place of grace and mercy and forgiveness. A new covenant, a new creation, a new birth. And you know, even if we're living in the good of that now, it's not ended. Because there's coming a day in the future when John, looking forward, seeing the revelation that God gave him towards the end of his life, saw heaven and said this, "He who was seated on the throne," that's God, "said, I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Write this down. It's so important. It's so vital. It's so true. "I am making everything new." There's coming a day when there'll be no more tears, no more death, no more sin, no more sickness. It'll be finished. It'll be ended. Not yet, but it's coming. It's certain. It's sure. It's going to happen. And if you're a Christian tonight, you're part of that. You're not going to be an observer from the stands, like watching a football match or a rugby match or a cricket match. You're going to be taking part. You'll be part of this great crowd, this great multitude, singing, shouting, glorifying God. We won't worry about the level of worship and the PA system and who's in tune and is the guitarist got it right and is the drums too loud. It'll just be a great cacophony of praise up to God because he's made everything new. Good stuff. I think so anyway. So, let me go back to Janus tonight as we come to a conclusion. Because I'm going to offer to you the option of, the choice here of, that's the same as option, Peter, choice, okay. I'm going to offer to you two possible resolutions you'd like to make tonight. First of all, taking the symbol of Janus. Do you remember what the people did at this time of the year? They sought to forgive and be forgiven. They sought to put things right that had gone wrong. They sought to make a new start. That's a resolution that some of us could make tonight. We're going to pray in a moment, so I'll give you an opportunity to do that. No doubt last year I offended at least one person per day. And you might have offended occasionally somebody. Or we have people who have offended us. They've hurt us, they've wounded us. And have we left it, or is it something we need to deal with? It's a resolution we might want to consider. And the second one was going back to the Bible, to the offer of new birth. I look around the room tonight, and I know most of you, but I don't know all of you. And I don't know where you stand in your relationship with God. Jesus has taken us out of rules and regulations into grace and mercy and forgiveness. But it does demand a response from us, that we commit, give, yield our lives to him. So it may be for you tonight that your resolution is to enter into a new birth experience with Jesus. Or, if you've made a commitment to him many years ago or even recently, and that you've lost your edge, or it's not quite where it used to be, and you'd like to make a new commitment, then here's that's a resolution to do. We can all lose our edge. We all sometimes need to come back to God and say, here I am. I'm starting out again, Lord. I'm not really starting out again because I've got that history, but it's like a new start for me. A new year, a new start. Because if we do these two things, we will not have New Year's resolutions. We'll have a New Year's revolution. Let's pray. I want to ask you tonight if you would seriously consider this whole area of forgiveness. And whether there are people that you need to forgive. And whether there are people that you need to forgive you. I am not suggesting that we rush across church or Kingston or whatever and confront people and say, I'm forgiving you. Often forgiveness is just something we choose to do and the matter then is settled. But if you've been hurt or offended, or if you've offended and hurt others, this is a good moment to make a resolution to forgive. It's a choice, not an emotion. It's something Jesus encourages us to do in Scripture. So, Father, tonight, if that's us, if that's me, help us to know. Help us to be honest. Help us to be real. And help us to forgive. And give us wisdom as to what we do with that. Sometimes, Lord, it's just enough to come to you and say, forgive me. Sometimes we do have to go to people and ask for their forgiveness, but show us what is the right thing to do. But help us tonight to resolve to forgive and to enter into a new year clear, free from any unforgiveness, from any bitterness, from any anger, from any resentment, from any hurt. Free us, Lord, as we forgive. In Jesus' name, amen.